We ain't
gonna go that far, okay?
Okay.
Don't even give them an idea.
We're not salty. Yeah, I couldn't even walk. I could not walk.
It's called thugging it outside. It's like a way of reminding yourself what, you know, you worked hard for. You know, it's a literal like reaction to the hard work you put in. So just live in it, embrace it, revel in the pain.
You guys, Amir's trying to give me advice on how to deal with the pain in my body.
Maybe you can take that, you know, those flights of stairs as a positive.
Let me tell you.
They don't know what you're talking about.
Let me set the scene, okay? You know what? Matter of fact, DJ, turn my mic up.
What? Are you quiet?
Yeah, a little bit.
Oh, my bad.
Hello, hello. Yeah, perfect. Thank you.
Okay, no problem.
Perfect. Thank you. Okay, so let me set the scene for you guys.
Okay. We're just gonna let's go.
Yeah. This is how we actually set up, guys, in case if Amir keeps us in, now you know.
I almost never keep it in, but it's whatever.
You know, sometimes they just need a little bit of a BTS boring, moment.
Whatever,
you know?
Okay.
I think they're interested. You know what? Maybe we should like include a vlog of like the pre setup and post takedown.
Do you guys even care about that? What post takedown? What do you post?
Like after we're done recording, what happens?
What do you mean, the turning off the lights?
No, but like you uploading the files and like, you know, edit with me. Type of thing.
Would you guys want
to see that?
Like, I was just being facetious.
I know. Let us know if you guys wanted to see that. And if so, maybe we'll consider that for the next episode.
Well, I don't know about the next
episode. Okay, maybe not the next episode, but like coming episodes, yeah, exactly. You know what I mean?
It's not like it only took me 5 months to come out with a second part of the vlog.
You know what? You were a little busy, okay? Life was happening for you.
Exactly. It's like, it's not like I got married or whatever in between that time and made another vlog for my nikah and also had to fly to a different country.
He said that took precedence over Australia.
I'm just saying.
Do we have a part 3 and 4 for that too?
Yeah, we do.
Okay, part 3 and 4 coming.
There's like 3 or 4 hours of footage, man.
Inshallah in 2024, not 2025.
2025, you mean?
Oh, really?
Oh, wait.
It's going to take you another year?
You think I'm going to get done this year?
Yeah, you still have 3 months.
Okay. Maybe, now that it's getting cooler, you know, people are staying inside more, I'll have more time to actually devote to making the next vlogs.
We're still gonna hang out, let's be real.
I know, exactly. But I'm more excited about the next vlog. Well, you know, I was excited about this vlog too.
Yeah,
there's a lot that went into it, but like the next one I feel like is like outside of course Abbas's nikah and everything, his wedding, like the experiences we had afterwards as a group were really fun.
Oh, where we were at the house.
When we drove to the road.
Yeah. You showed me that, right? I think you showed me a preview of it.
What do you mean?
Yes, I know. I know I was there. I mean, like you showed me the...
I don't think I... What happened?
Why am I itchy? Why?
Because you're just itchy. What are you talking about?
You guys, Amir, give me pre-workout. And look at my bottle.
It's supposed to be colored.
I thought it was a colorless
potion. Who has color? What? Am I a witch or a wizard now?
Anyways, the scooper was so big that I was like, I want like an eighth of that. And he put like half of it and he was laughing the whole time.
I was laughing because she was acting ridiculous to like the amount. I literally put in like how much you put when you salt like your burger.
That is a lie.
Your food. Like it's like literally like salt bait amount.
No, it wasn't. It was actually like a lot. No. And you were laughing because you know it's going to affect me.
I was laughing just how she's reacting. Okay. Yeah, so you'll be fine. Oh my god, that was wet.
Yeah, I heard the phlegm in there. Water break.
But yeah, if you haven't checked out the vlog yet, check it out. We put it out today as we're recording. It's like 9 p.m. now, so we put it up 4 hours ago. Yeah. And yeah, you know, we put a lot of work into this one. I can always see room for improvement. I'm one of those people who like, the only reason it also took this long is because I just like was in my head too much and I was being a perfectionist, and eventually I just had to like be like, okay, I just got to start like putting my foot down and like actually getting this thing out.
I loved the editing on this one, honestly, but the ending is so abrupt.
Yeah, I did that on purpose.
I had a feeling.
Yeah, I was like,
because you know the
how do I end this
part one, you were like next on
exactly.
I loved. I was like, I'm obsessed. Like, I literally watched it back today.
Yeah, I wanted to put that in there.
Yeah,
but as like a not reaction, like as a consequence of having to like put my foot down and be like, I have to get this thing out.
Mm-hmm.
And if I wanted to get it out the day we did,
yeah,
I wouldn't be able to do that. Like,
that's
I
would fine.
Been, yeah. So I was like, you know what? I got to make the sacrifice here. Maybe I'll do it in the next one. Yeah. You know, there's always time. There's always room to improve. Okay. There's only our fourth vlog we've ever made. Is it our fifth vlog we've made?
Yeah. We have five vlogs total.
Do we?
Yeah. Because we have.
I don't even remember editing all those.
Because I. Listen.
What?
As the admin of Cousin Connection, I separate our uploads into different playlists.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, that's how I put it in. I put it into that playlist.
No, I did.
No, I mean like this latest one.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I did. Anyway.
Okay, so go watch it. Sada, tell us why your legs are hurting today.
Okay, so let me set the scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2023, okay? And my job,
mm-hmm.
my company, I was at work in the office and maybe they sent an email with a warning that the fire drill was going to take place. I don't know. But
you're not checking your email, Sana?
I clearly missed the email and I had no idea. So to my surprise, the day that I wore heels to the office, like, who am I, first of all? Why am I wearing heels? But second,
yeah, what are you wearing?
I don't know. I was trying too hard last year.
Yeah.
So I wore heels and the fire alarm goes off and I'm in like full panic mode because it's like 2 p.m. I've already been on my feet all day.
Yeah, wasn't it like the talk of the office being like, hey, you ready for the fire alarm today?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Did
so I'm like, maybe
forget?
Maybe this was like actually a surprise. No, because usually they'll do one where it's like people know and then they'll do a surprise one. So I guess this was a surprise one. Or maybe they emailed it and nobody saw it. I don't know. I can't remember. Anyways, I'm in panic mode because I'm like, I can't go down. I'm on the 15th floor. Imagine going 15 flights of stairs with heels on.
So hey, I'm like, get your steps in, that's all.
I was like, what do I do?
Yeah.
So I'm looking at my friend and I'm like, hey, how bad do you think it is if I just hold my shoes in my hand and I just go down with socks? And she's like, of course she was a fire warden.
Yeah.
So she's like, as a fire warden, now that you've informed me, I can't let you do that. And
oh,
I was like,
no.
Okay, well, since this is a drill, can I be exempt from evacuating? She's like, no, you don't have an actual excuse. Like, unless you're.
I would have fell on the floor, like, oh. I'm famished. I'm dehydrated. I can't move. You must carry me down.
So you know what she did? She's like, I can give you one of my flats. She has shoes. She keeps all her shoes in the office. So I'm like, okay, what size are your feet?
Mm-hmm.
She's an 8. For those that know me, I am a 6.5.
She has kids' feet.
So I'm like, you are an 8? I don't think that will fit me. She's like, no, they're pretty tight. Like, it should be fine. I'll put them on. I literally could stick my fist into the back of the shoe. So I was like, Miss Ma'am, this is a bigger hazard than the heels. I can't wear these.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what I did?
What?
I stuffed the front with tissue, thinking it was going to work. It didn't.
Does that not hurt even more?
No, but because I was trying to like close the gap.
Yeah, but I feel like that would hurt more because like you have something like pushing up against your toes and it's not like curved. It's more flat. But I guess your feet kind of do warp it a little bit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it was worse. I was literally like, I had so much anxiety. I was sweating, not because it was hot, but because I was so nervous about falling. The way I was gripping onto the friggin' railing slowed down everybody.
Oh, because everybody has to like hold onto the railing going down. You can't just like book
it
down.
You can book it down, but there's like hundreds of people, right? Everyone that's on the floors above us.
Is it every single floor in the building?
Yes. Everyone
has
to evacuate.
They don't do floor by floor?
No.
So, do you guys just call it a day after that? How many people are going up that elevator at the, like...
the escalator?
After, like, the... whatever, the alarm is off or...
Oh, you just gotta wait. It's, like, 15 minutes to get back upstairs because everyone's waiting.
I'm calling it a day. Like, don't maybe come all the way down here and then we have to wait for every single person.
It's not even that we just go down to the lobby. What do you mean? We have to walk to City Hall.
What?
Yeah.
Why?
Because you have to get far away from the, like, far enough away that if there was a fire, we're not in harm's way.
That makes no sense. Like, do it at, like, 3:30.
Well, yeah,
or
no, this 4 was...
4 o'clock, whatever time people come out.
Well, then everyone would go down with their bags.
Oh, okay, I see.
So, again, like, as I'm going down this like 15 flights of stairs mm-hmm. with shoes that are too big for me.
Yeah.
I was really mad at myself. Like mm-hmm. I was just like, you know, why don't I keep shoes in the office?
Yeah.
I still don't, by the way. So the year is now flash forward to 2024. And this time they do send out emails and they're like, yeah, you know, fire drill on this day. Mm-hmm. Now, normally I would just
wait, this whole time you're telling a story of something that happened last year.
Yes, because I had PTSD from that, which is leads me to this.
I didn't
story.
Catch that part. This whole time I thought you were telling me about what happened the other day.
No, this happened in 2023. Yeah. I had to rent my friend's flats that were too big and I was like anxious and sweaty and yeah. mad at myself. And yeah, that mm-hmm. happened this year. I got the email and I was prepared. Yeah. I wore sneakers, mm-hmm. cute sneakers, but I wore sneakers. And it was the talk of the office that day. Everyone's like, yeah, I wore my sneakers, da, 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 whatever. Like mm-hmm. they're talking about it. Anyway, we know what's happening on that day, but we don't know when. Mm-hmm. So I had to go into a touch point with one of my employees.
Yeah.
So
her employees, guys. You hear that?
No.
Okay. She is my
colleague.
Manager.
Let's say colleague. Okay. My colleague. Anyway. So
no,
we,
come on, girl boss. We're done.
So normally I would just take the meeting on mm-hmm. the same floor that I work on, but I don't know why. Today we felt inspired to go to the floor below yeah. us and use the fancy coffee machine. Mm-hmm. So I take my laptop with me so I can take my notes, and we sit in like the wellness center with couches. It's cute. It's a vibe.
Yeah.
We're like 5 minutes into the meeting. I have my coffee that I didn't even take a sip of. It was a nice latte.
Yeah.
And of course, the fire alarm goes off. And I'm like, are you kidding me? So I'm like, do we have enough time to just quickly run upstairs so I can drop off my laptop? Mm-hmm. And she's like, I don't know. But then we also had these coffees. And I'm like, we can't take the coffee. It's a hazard because if it spills, it's going to make the stairs wet. Mm-hmm. So we left the coffees and I had to take my laptop with me down 15 flights of stairs. So
now
I'm clutching
resistance,
literally clutching this laptop for dear life.
Yeah.
And I'm going down the stairs. And I'm fine. Like, I wasn't even breaking a sweat. Like, mm-hmm. all the walking that I've been doing recently has just built my
tolerance cardio.
For, yes, yeah. right. So I'm chilling, right? Tell mm-hmm. me why. It's like maybe like 4 more flights left. The way my legs were trembling, Amir. Like,
really?
They were like trembling. But I felt fine like here yeah. up. But like my legs, mm-hmm. I thought they were going to give out, that I had to hold on to the railing.
What? Going down?
Yeah. I don't know if it was like, remember last time I told you I had like vertigo when we were somewhere and there was a lot of stairs and I was like, oh my God, I feel like I'm going to fall. I didn't feel like I was going to fall, but my legs were like shaking bad.
Really?
Yeah. So I'm like, whatever. I walk it off. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we walk outside and then going back, like we took the elevator up, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. I was fine the rest of the day.
Yeah.
Friday morning. I wake up and I literally, I'm like, I tried to stand up to get out of my bed and I literally fell back down and I'm like, yo.
Wait, when was the last time you've done a resistance workout?
Like stairs?
Any type of resistance workout.
When I do my walks.
For your legs, I mean.
When I do my walks, like there's like minor uphill.
No, resistance workout. I mean like pushing some weight.
With my legs?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
I think we know the culprit.
So now I'm like, oh my God, my legs hurt. Mm-hmm. And as the day, you know how it is when you do like day, like the
like
next day.
Goes, yeah.
The pain mm-hmm. was so bad. We also had a wedding yesterday and then add heels to that. Mm-hmm. It's just a recipe for disaster. By the time I got home, mm-hmm. I literally had to crawl up the stairs. That's
no
how
way.
Bad my legs are. And you know when it like, does this ever happen where your leg like stiffs up? Like, you can't relax your muscles?
Yeah.
That happened to me.
Sarah, we're at the age where we can't just do physical activity and not do pre and post stretching, okay?
I know. I realized that. I'm like, damn, I should have stretched. I should have.
I think what you just went through is, like, that thing that everybody goes through when they're hitting, like, their 30s, like, what do you call it? Yeah, they're early and almost mid-30s where they realize their body, like, just you can't just, like, get up and go anymore. Like, you actually have to do some type of recovery before and after.
And you still
or
get
even
Theragun?
After.
Because, like, damn. Like, see, even this?
I don't even know if it's charged, but did you do any stretching afterwards? See, I'm telling you, man.
The fact that I can sit like this.
I learned it the hard way, too. I learned it the hard way, too.
You don't even stretch.
No, and now I stretch.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't stretching for a while, and mm-hmm. I paid the price, but... You know, you learn. I feel like all the people who are old enough to listen to this still be like, oh, they don't even know yet.
Yeah.
It's like some next thing I don't know
We're
about.
Not even at our mid-30s. We're still early 30s.
Yeah, but, you know,
crazy Blink. That we're even saying that.
Blink, and you know, just saying it might be there. I'm just saying. But yeah, that's I bet you that's just because of like stretching and like that's why I always tell people like incorporate some type of resistance training in your workouts.
I know.
In life in general, because it helps with everything. It helps with just being able to do tasks without feeling like you're gonna die the next day. It helps with like when you get older, building up bone density, because resistance training builds up bone density. So if you trip and fall, you don't end up turning into pieces of Lego, you know,
like a broken hip.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's actually a thing that happens. Like the reason you hear of older people breaking hips and like, you know, femurs and all these other things so easily from just falling is because resistance training is really kind of a new concept.
Is it?
It sort of like for something that's prescribed for everyone, like something that is more of a necessity over just something you could do for your own leisure, like because, you know, you feel like you want to build some muscle or something. Like now I feel like society is getting to the stage, like I mentioned I mentioned 2 weeks ago, where like it's starting to become as important as everything else you do in your life.
Yeah, no.
Especially as we move towards more of a sedentary lifestyle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, you know what? You're right. Like I think the walks that I do, there's not enough uphill. Like if it was like a constant uphill, then the stairs would have been nothing.
Yeah. That's where like you got to start getting creative and you know how you have your treadmill?
Yeah.
Like just get some boxes and stick it on top of the boxes.
I wouldn't trust that.
Eh, you got to try some new things, man.
No.
Where are you going to fall? 2 inches onto the floor?
Well, no, I was thinking getting like ankle weights. Because now I don't do my walks indoors. I do them outside.
Yeah, you do them outside. But well, you're going to have to go back indoors soon, right?
I'm actually going to push myself.
Are you going to be like me and like trudging through the snow?
Yeah, but I probably have to get winter.
Like, get like waterproof shoes. You can get like from a certain company that makes waterproof shoes. You can get those shoes.
They don't want to sponsor
those.
They're
like, talk to the hand. But they have certain shoes that are good, made specifically for winter.
The grip is nice too?
Yeah, the grip is nice. Hmm. They're made for like hiking and winter and they're waterproof.
Oh, okay.
But I'm sure you can find another company that also makes waterproof boots. Okay.
If you have
they're
a
not
company
the only one out there.
Or know a company that has waterproof shoes that doesn't start with a V.
Yeah, we're not even gonna go that far, okay? Okay. Don't even give them an idea.
We're not salty. Hey.
It's almost like we grew up together.
I know. What was that? I don't know. I guess it's the cousin connection.
Oh my god. But yeah, so like I mentioned, we did miss a week. Okay.
We did.
To
be fair, I was dying last week. Was that the reason? No, I recorded when I was.
We had like wedding stuff and.
Oh yeah.
Celebrations and just different stuff that was going on.
Yeah.
So we just couldn't make time for it. Mm-hmm. You know, cuz life sometimes just happens, guys. Okay?
It does.
It's going to be the case.
And it's going to happen again next week actually, but
maybe not.
No, you're going to bring it?
Maybe I could bring it one.
You guys know already Cousin Connection is international at this point. We record anywhere we go.
We literally recorded in Ethiopia.
I feel like what's that one song? I merely rock on any block. That's us.
I record a so pot on any block. I don't know.
That's literally us though, but
okay. So we missed a week and a lot has happened.
Let's get into it.
Yeah, a lot of crazy things have happened in the past few weeks. The earliest thing, the thing that we actually forgot to mention, but it was happening literally as we were recording.
Yes, I noticed that. I realized we forgot to mention it.
Yeah, like there was a case of Marcellus Williams. Unfortunately, because we were kind of late to it or we didn't mention it then, there was already a campaign out to save him from death row. And everybody was really pushing in this. There was like literally millions of petitions being made and people were physically walking into the offices of the attorney generals to like tell him to stop and the governor and tell them like, hey, this guy clearly didn't do it or like he needs a retrial, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, nah, we're not going to do nothing. We're just going to keep going forward with this. And unfortunately, he did get executed. And a lot of people felt really like disempowered because of that, because they're like, there was clearly so much of a push to free this man. And there was so much evidence showing that he had nothing to do with this.
Support for this podcast is brought to you by Walden University. Ever catch yourself thinking, what if I could go after what I actually want and really make a difference? You're not alone. And that's exactly why I want to tell you about Walden University. For over 50 years, Walden has helped working adults like you get the W with the knowledge and skills to build the future you want and make a difference where it matters most. If you've been waiting for the right moment, this is it. Head to waldenu.edu and take that first step. Walden University. Set a course for change. Certified to operate by Chev.
Case, like, I believe the two eyewitnesses that came up ended up saying, like, retracting their statements and saying that we were just paid to do that to get lesser sentences. Yeah, exactly. Like, they
were paid?
Yeah, they said, like, they were compensated by saying, like, they would be given less sentences or something like that.
So was he just targeted because...
Yeah, because I don't know why specifically they chose him.
Yeah.
I think it was more of a lineup situation. I can't remember exactly what how they got him why they specifically arrested him. But, yeah, there was no evidence left. And I believe the one piece of evidence they still had, which was the actual knife used in the murder, it was basically mishandled. So they couldn't even use it anymore. Mm-hmm. But then they were saying, because we can't use that anymore, it doesn't necessarily clear him, because now it could technically be him because now there's no murder weapon. Like, they're basically like playing some weird mind games with the whole situation to try and keep him in there. And eventually, unfortunately, they did execute him for that. But one thing, at least from my perspective, now that everybody's like kind of, everyone who's listening is probably already knows about the story. Mm-hmm. The moment I saw him, one thing to mention, the moment I saw him, just bring it a bit lighter, I knew the man was Muslim.
How?
I immediately knew.
Because you saw the Salat mark?
Yes. Everyone knows, like, and you knew that he was a dedicated Muslim too, like a devout Muslim too, and most likely even a pious one because of the fact that he had the marking on his forehead.
I think it's called sajda. You know,
possibly. Yeah, because you get it in the sujood, right?
Yeah.
So he had that on his head, and I didn't look into it just yet when I saw that. I just knew, and the beard, he had the beard. I know that these are things that, like, typically people say, like, aren't exactly indicators of being a Muslim, but if you're a Muslim, you kind of automatically pick up on these things. And they are like the stereotypical things that you see. And then when his last statement came out,
I literally have it here, like,
oh yeah, you can read that out. Well, he came out with the last statement, and it's just one line. What does it say?
All praise be to Allah in every situation! !!
Yeah, and that's honestly like the best way you can go out.
It's a reminder.
And I feel like I wouldn't say relieved, but I felt a little. I don't know. It's kind of hard. Okay, this is gonna be kind of controversial, but I felt a little bit lighter about the situation because knowing that he was at peace at the time, and knowing that this life is not the end, and Allah will, I forget what the actual line is, but like, he will give you what's best for you, right? And I believe he even said it in a video where he's like, if death is better for me, then give me death, right? So in this case, it was written for him to die in this manner, but it's not the end for him, and he knew that himself clearly from what he was writing there. Like, this is, at the end of the day, like, it's not like he lost, if you think about that. Like, technically, in a sense, you could say he lost because he wasn't cleared of his name. But as a Muslim, you're always a winner. So I believe that's one positive you can take away from the situation if you're a Muslim listening to this. And some can bring some levity to the situation. Of course, it's horrible that it still happened. And the fact that this isn't a unique case, this is something that's happening across America all the time. There are... I can almost say, like, there are thousands of people out there who are currently either being just held in jail or on death row, who the evidence against them is very shoddy. Like, even if there is evidence, sometimes they're, like, in this case, there's not even any evidence proving that he's there. But even if they said they did have any evidence, it's very shoddy, and like it doesn't really hold up in the public opinion, or what do they call it? The public court of opinion.
Yeah.
Maybe in a real court, they might think that it holds up, but in public court opinion, you can clearly see that it doesn't really hold up. And that was a similar situation that we saw here.
Yeah, I know we, I remember we covered another story like this too, maybe like last year.
Yeah, there was, yeah, I remember. And he remember? That, but that guy was actually cleared, I believe. Yeah, I forget his name specifically. I know I have a picture. Yeah, I'm really bad with names. I have the picture in my head. He was wearing the white kofia.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. What was the name?
I can't remember now.
Well, I'll, you know what? I'll insert a card here when I find it when we upload this episode, if you're watching this on YouTube. But yeah, everything that you said about this life not being the final destination, I think, because you know what? I was actually watching this documentary called Daughters on Netflix. Did I tell you to watch this? I feel like I told you to watch this, and I don't think you did, but watch it.
I'm gonna say you didn't tell me.
I did. I did tell you.
I watch all your suggestions, Sarah.
No, you don't. You didn't. You didn't watch When They See Us.
Oh no! I told you I specifically will not watch that one.
Okay, watch Daughters.
What is it about?
So, it's basically about this program that's set in place for men that are in jail who have daughters. I told you about this, right?
The father-daughter dance.
Yes.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I was very surprised to see that a lot of the men were Muslim. And I was thinking about it, and I think I watched another documentary where people were talking about why there's such a high rate of inmates that embrace Islam when they are in jail. And I think because when you're in jail, you know, you have a lot of time to reflect on your life and you are constantly reading. And, you know, a lot of people, you know, use their time to be as productive as possible, whether it's improving their physical health or mental health, learning, all that kind of stuff. And so people eventually just find the truth in Islam. And I think that for Marcellus, like, he was probably a devout Muslim. Allahu alam. I don't really know his, like, the ins and outs of his life, obviously. But for his final statement to be what it was.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you, like, that's just a true reflection of having tawakkul. Like truly having full faith in God and just trusting the plan and just letting things happen the way that they're meant to. And just remembering, like, this isn't the final destination. So even if, you know, for those that are listening to this, I think for me it was like a reminder that even if things aren't going your way in this life, or you just feel like you're, it's misfortune after misfortune, you should never feel that type of, like, that disparity, like, oh, woe is me, or like, why me all the time.
And I feel like that's also maybe a big reason why there are a lot of conversions in jail, is because Islam can give you that hope, you know, and that, like, solace to and reassurance, the afterlife, right? Yeah,
yeah.
Not only that, in this life as well, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Because then you start to realize, okay, if this is what's good for me, there's that. I forget if I ever made this case myself or mentioned it, but, like, people are saying, you know, maybe sometimes being here is a way of Allah protecting me from a worse place I might have been if I was outside, or a situation I might have gotten myself into if I was outside. Not saying that jail is good in general. I don't know if a lot of times if it's even the best course of, like, rehabilitation, because that's what they say it's supposed to do. But
yeah, but the jail systems are very corrupt.
It's clearly not working. But yeah, it gives you patience in, like, moments where you feel like nothing is going your way, or you feel like, why is this happening to me? It gives you, like, those answers.
Yeah. Yeah. And I, like I remember reading his final statement, and I think there was, like, an email or something that he wrote too, right?
Did he?
I could have sworn I've seen something. I can't find it. I tried to Google it, but yeah, his final statement, like, hit me. It was, like, such a big reminder. Because you, I feel like you guys know by now, I kind of tend to be dramatic sometimes, a little bit here and there.
Just a tad bit.
Just a tad. And sometimes I have to remind myself, like, girl, calm the F down. It's really not that serious. But even when I am, I always mess this word up, but is it catastrophize or catastrophize? Catastrophize.
Catastrophize. Now that you said it, it's like those things where I know what it is, but, like, because you said it now, I can't remember what it is.
I'm going to Google it. Catastrophize.
I think it's catastrophize.
I think it's catastrophize.
Because if it's catastrophe.
It is catastrophize.
Yeah.
When I catastrophize. That doesn't sound right. Catastrophize sounds right.
No, catastrophize. Because catastrophe is a word. So
it's not catastrophe.
So to, like,
catastrophe.
To catastrophize something. We were thinking about this too long, Sada. Continue.
Anyways, when I'm in those moments of like catastrophizing a situation, mm-hmm. I have to always bring myself back to reality and, you know, remind myself from that type of standpoint of like just trusting God, like not to make this a religious thing, but it's really just like, as we've said it before, Islam is our way of life. Yeah. It literally is our guiding point and how we navigate through this world. Mm-hmm. And so for me, like sometimes I have to just remember like, no, you know, stop spiraling in this thought process, like mm-hmm. calm down. This is just like trust God's plan, literally.
Yeah. Just make sure to pray for Marcellus and his family. May Allah grant him a high place in Jannah and, you know, forgive all his sins. And just let's hope that this type of case will be an example, or maybe kind of like a catalyst for more people being freed and cleared of their names, because there's a long list of people who have this similar situation, and no matter who they are, they all deserve a fair trial and a fair shake. And I don't think this should be the last person this happens to. And hopefully all of the people who were gathered and like motivated to try and clear his name will take that energy and start putting it towards other people who also need help. I'm sure there are other programs. I forget what the names of the programs are now. Maybe I'll put them up. If I can find them, that actually focus specifically on cases like this. I believe even, like, ironically enough, what's her name?
Kim
Kardashian, like, yeah. Has something. I don't know what the name of an organization or some type of, like...
Is it a nonprofit?
A nonprofit.
Like, activist group type of thing?
Yeah, where she... Oh. Does this.
Yeah, she does advocate for people who have been wrongfully convicted.
Yeah.
Honestly, mostly like ones that are on like death row or something like mm-hmm. that too. I think right now she's active. She's speaking up about those brothers that have that Netflix documentary.
Oh yeah, I saw that on I forgot their name. I forget the name of it too. We're really bad at putting up names. We should start like writing things down ahead of time. We don't know we're gonna reference it. But yeah. but yeah, so check out
the Mendez brothers.
Yes, the Mendez brothers.
Yeah.
People are saying it's kind of like iffy on what their motivations were and all that stuff. Mm. There's a lot of controversy around the Netflix special where they tried to like insert some type of weird and incestuous relationship with them, and they're like, that was definitely not a thing. Mm-hmm. But you know, on Netflix is, man, they're trying to like, you know, they got the devil working behind their walls.
So
next on the docket, or the next thing that, what?
I was just prompting okay. you.
But yeah, so the next thing that's also been going on and basically just popped off almost out of nowhere. Like, I think there was always like...
It was brewing.
It was being teased a little bit. And people were joking about like World War III, whatever. But finally, there was first the phone situation or the pager situation.
The pager, yeah. Did we talk about that? We did, right?
Yeah, I think we mentioned... I can't remember if we mentioned it. Maybe we did.
Yeah.
But there was that first situation where essentially they... Israel... Like, I don't know how they did it, but they inserted bombs into a bunch of pagers.
Yeah.
And then these pagers were shipped out by the original makers of them to Hezbollah. And they... dispersed it to, like, you know, just people within the areas that they were working in. Mm-hmm. And they just kind of, like, Israel just pressed a button and exploded all of them. They didn't care who they hurt. They didn't care who had them at the time. They had no line of sight on who was currently holding these things. And you saw videos of people, like, in grocery stores. You saw people driving their cars, like, people just standing around in shops and stuff, and just literally, like, their legs.
It's so messed up.
Yeah, I don't even want to mention the things that were happening. Yeah. There were kids who were killed from it as well. And then after that, actually, when they're grieving these people who passed away and like going to the funerals, they then activated bombs inside of walkie-talkies, which also killed and hurt and injured people who were currently mourning the people who were just killed from the previous one, right? And then after that, they just start, they're like, okay, mask off. They started just bombing like southern Lebanon, right? And everybody was kind of like, wait, is it happening? Like, is it actually happening? Is this full out war? And of course, Western media is trying to downplay everything. They're saying like, nah, they're just, you know, they're not raiding, or they're not invading. They're just raiding, or like, they're not invading. They're just doing an operation or whatever, right? But clearly, they're just invading southern Lebanon, which actually exposed me to some history that I didn't know about, where I didn't know that, I think it was up until 2000 or 2006, that Israel actually had control of southern Lebanon.
Really?
They were occupying southern Lebanon for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And they only like came out, well, recently, is not 2006, not really recent, but like within the this century or this
18 years ago,
only 18 years ago is when they pulled out and gave back the land in a way. I don't know, because it's kind of like is Hezbollah controlled area.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, it's been like a very contentious area. There's supposed to be like no fight zone, or like a green zone, essentially, where no one's allowed to kind of claim that area of land.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe they said that Hezbollah wasn't like honoring that, and that was their reason for going in and sending these bombs. But at the end of the day, there are innocent people who are being hurt here.
They ended up killing the leader.
Yeah, they ended up. Exactly. I think his name was Nasrullah.
Yeah, Hassan Nasrullah.
Hassan Nasrullah. And that set off a lot of alarm bells for all across the world, to the point that actually Iran retaliated by sending like almost 200 rockets over to Israel and actually hitting certain spots, right? So yeah. I thought at that point, like, you know, both of them have masks off. Like, this is going to go on to full out war. But things kind of cool down after that. It's almost like a tit for tat kind of situation, where like they do something and they try to attack back. But at the end, like, there's still innocent people who are getting caught in the crossfire here.
Yeah. And they're not just like, Israel is not just bombing Lebanon. They're also bombing Yemen and Syria. Mm-hmm. And of course, still Palestine.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think, like, who knows, right? Maybe Israel is pressuring the United States for support.
Mm-hmm.
But the United States knows that if they, you know, engage and they try, I'm pretty sure Russia is then going to join. And then it's a full-blown world war.
Yeah, I don't know. Was Russia even in there? They've already been occupied with another situation.
They have, but I think, like, because they're not necessarily... Like, if they get an opportunity, I'm sure they would jump in.
What if, like, because they know Russia is, like, occupied with Ukraine, like, they're like, we can kind of do whatever we want in these regions that are supposed to be backed by the Russians because they're already preoccupied. It's not like they have any extra resources to be sending out to us at this moment, because they're getting their butts kicked out there. At least apparently from what the news is saying. And I don't know how much you can trust the news, but that's what the situation is currently, at least as we're being told is. So,
I don't know. It's
like a weird, like, global conspiracy.
All the communist countries might just come together to support, like, anyone that's against the states.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? Maybe like North Korea and China. I don't know. They might just
North
all
Korea.
Jump in.
North Korea is a whole other basket case. Okay.
I know, but I'm just saying, like this is how World War starts.
They don't care what's going on outside of their borders.
Did you see those like random clips that have been released on TikTok? Do you got that too?
I got that too.
That's weird. Like, a hidden footage.
But the thing is, I'm pretty sure I've seen these videos like a while ago.
And everyone in the comments was like, yo, what year is this?
Yeah, that's the thing. You can't tell.
Yeah. It could be 2024. It could be 2016, 2008. Who knows?
Yeah. Do they go by a different year in North Korea?
I don't know.
Yeah. Because I feel like their type of country, like if Ethiopia goes by its own year, like North Korea would definitely probably go by its own year.
But that's because of the calendar. But I don't know if they have their own calendar.
I feel like they would have, because for them, they look at their leaders as almost like a messiah, like they believe that they can do miracles and like have done. I think there's like a whole thing where they said like King Jong-un did like an 18 hole course with 18 shots, so basically he got one a hole in one in each one, and like he got like a perfect like 300 bowling game, which basically you got all 10 pins every 10 times in a row. If that makes sense.
And do we believe that?
No, it's definitely not. But like, that's how they're brainwashed. They brainwashed to believe that these guys can actually perform miracles and are like superhuman. But yeah, so that's the side note.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that like, do I think a world war will break out? I think that's on a lot of people's mind. Mm-hmm. But there's also elections are coming up. And mm-hmm. so part of me is like, I think that's also like a why distraction.
Well, essentially, like, the reason that I feel like it's not being covered by media at the moment right now, well, there's a lot of reasons, but mainly because also, like, they know they don't want to ruffle any feathers when it comes to the election game, right? Because this type of situation can really sway a lot of people's opinions. They're like, let's just not mention it, not let people know that we're sending billions of dollars here or even mention it. Because, well, what?
Funny you say that.
I know what you're about to mention. Yeah, go ahead.
Because, as you guys know, there are a lot of hurricanes. Or is it Hurricane Helene, I think it's called?
Yeah.
That, like, basically destroyed not only, was it in Florida, somewhere in Florida?
Florida and, like, I think South Carolina.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that region. And I believe their government said that each person that was affected is going to get $750.
No, someone did the math, and they're like, I think FEMA, which is the disaster response branch of the government, whatever, has like a $20 billion budget.
Meanwhile, they're sending $850 billion to Israel. Like, why do they need so much money?
They said if they were like to divide that, that's not how it works. But like, if they were to divide it by the populations in those states that were affected, it would be like $700 per person. But if you take the amount of money that was sent to Israel and divide that by the amount of people who were there, each person would have like $7,200. Yeah. So it shows you the disparity in how much they really care about their own people versus a country that they really should have no relation to.
I think the United States...
Outside of it being like a proxy base for them.
The United States is owned by Israel, in my opinion.
Well, it's more of a proxy. Because for them, mm-hmm. having that... I've mentioned this before. Having that region gives them the ability to like control the regions around it, and for them, peace essentially means stability. So if they can have control of if they have one country inside there that can keep the other ones in check, then they can keep them stable. Their stability is like essentially knowing no one attacking them, like having no one being able to build up enough strength to actually form some type of coalition or some type of like organization that can start making demands for them. Mm-hmm. As long as those countries are weak, they can't make demands, so they can continue stripping them of their resources and putting sanctions on them and basically bullying them into giving them what they want, which is like oil and resources. America. Yeah, so that's why Israel has so much control over it, because over America, because they know that they absolutely need them. So there's nothing they can do that they would immediately like disavow. Mm-hmm. They could literally on live TV have like Netanyahu like doing something to an innocent person. I won't even go that far, but let's say doing something to an innocent person live on TV, mm-hmm. and they'll find some way of twisting it, or they'll do that whole thing where they say, you know, this is disturbing. We'll go and speak to them and ask them about this, and we'll perform an investigation. And then they follow up a couple weeks later, like, okay, what's going on in the investigation? It's like, we are still currently doing this investigation. Is being handled internally. We have come to a conclusion, mm-hmm. but we are not at privy to tell this to the public or allowed to because of like confidentiality. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So they can brush anything under the rug just by, you know, doing some type of word gymnastics. But that's just how global politics works, right? My thing that I always try and focus on is the fact that innocent people are always getting hurt in the middle of this. And it's hard to find a solution. But we can always go back to what I mentioned earlier with like, you know, at the end of the day, you have to rely on Allah and you have to like understand, okay, we don't understand why this is happening. We don't understand why this is all going on and how some people get hurt. We can just put our trust in Allah and, you know, continue to have patience in this situation, mm-hmm. and just pray that it all leads to something more positive. And one way to kind of look at it in a positive light, because it can be really hard, especially in times like this, is that a lot of the moves that Israel is making right now are mainly out of desperation. I feel like a lot of them are being made out of desperation. And the country itself is kind of eating itself from the inside out as well. Because I recently watched a video. Do you know Channel 5 News? It's a channel. Have you ever heard of a YouTube channel called All Gas No Breaks? It was like a dude, tall dude. He always wore like an oversized light brown suit. And he would go to like different events going on within America, where he either went to like the riots going on, the BLM riots, or he'd go to like a Trump rally. He'll go to a Democratic rally, Republican rally. He'll go to different rallies. He'll even go to like Mardi Gras and like interview people on the streets. But him, he actually has, now that he's expanded, first off, he lost all glass and breaks, but then it pushed him to like expand and actually do some real reporting to the point where recently he's been like doing stuff on the ground. Like he's been investigating the stuff going on at the border. He's been investigating like the situation where they were saying like gangs were coming into like Springfield, Ohio, whatever. I can't remember what the situation, I don't know if it was Springfield, Ohio. I think I'm mixing that with a different city because that's a whole Haitian situation that would really dumb. But he's investigating all these stories that are like blown out of the water and like no one really knows what's really going on. He goes to the streets and talks to those people to actually get the real information and find out, because everything today is a conspiracy online. You never know who's telling you the truth. You can't really tell what's going on, but he's someone you can kind of trust, or at least I feel like I can trust. I say all that to get to he recently had a correspondent in actually Israel. Who was covering the protests that were happening in there against Netanyahu, right? And it was interesting to get the people who actually live there, their perspective, right? Because it can be easy to like villainize every single person there,
but that's
right?
not right either.
Exactly, because at the end of the day, there are still a lot of young people who live there. And there are many examples, and even in this video, of young people who understand that this is a Zionist project and do not agree with it, but there's nothing much they can do because they're currently teenagers, or they don't have money, or it's not like they can leave. It's like, where do they go? Can they get a visa? What's the situation? What do you do when you live in a country like that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So it was interesting to get their perspective, but you do also get the perspective of the people who are kind of like, they understand the situation, they hate what's going on, they want the ceasefire and everything. A lot of the reasons for the ceasefire you don't really agree with, because for them they're purely thinking of like just the hostages or whatever. But then you can also understand their perspective, because they're like, this was my sister, this is my friend, this is someone I grew up with, right? For them, they just, before all of this was popping off like a year ago, like there wasn't really much talk about how we want to dismantle the whole country in itself. Right, sure, like we were kind of, there are talks of that within our communities, because we're a little bit more closely connected to it, because there are a lot of Muslims who are being affected by the whole situation in that region, in Palestine. But these people, they never really had a reason to look into it, because they just, it's like if you live in America and you're currently living on like native land, native owned land that the government illegally built some settlements on, but those natives have been fighting for their land back for 100 years, but you're born 20 years ago. So like you are like, oh, what do I do? My family lives here. It's like, I don't, but it was all to say that like, it was a very interesting perspective on the whole situation.
I'm going to look that up.
And
after,
to go back to the desperation, he has almost no support. Netanyahu has almost no support. To the point that he was desperate enough to ally himself with the very, very far right. Essentially, think about it, if you're connected back to America, it would be like the Democrats like aligning themselves, or no, it would be like, let's say in Canada, it would be like the Liberals aligning themselves with the most extreme conservatives in the Conservative Party.
It goes against
to
everything
hold
that
enough
they...
seats in the House, because their government works very similar to ours, to hold enough seats so that they can continue to have the confidence of the majority of the House to stay in power, right? Because it's like Canada, where they have multiple parties and they can build coalitions and stuff. How like the Liberals had the NDPs for a long time, but then the NDPs said, we no longer support the Liberals. So they had the non-confidence vote recently. I don't know if you guys know about that in Canada. You don't know that. If you haven't been paying attention to politics in Canada, the NDPs and the Liberals, because the Liberals, when they, in the last election, they lost a lot of seats to the point where they no longer had a majority in the House. So they essentially, there could be an election at any point to take power away from them. Mm-hmm. So they align themselves with the NDP party so they could have enough seats in the House mm-hmm. to stay in power, to continue to be the leaders of the House.
Right.
I don't know if the House is the right word I'm using there, but recently NDPs were like, you know what? They haven't been listening to us. They haven't been doing the things that we want them to do. So we're no longer going to vote, like align ourselves with them and like, you know, essentially we won't give them the majority anymore. We won't allow them to have the majority anymore.
Yeah.
So then there was a non-confidence vote, which basically means that if they don't get enough votes in favor of them, then it triggers an election.
Oh.
And people thought, you know, this might be NDPs said they were pulling out from supporting the Liberal Party. But that was avoided because I have a feeling that a lot of the other parties, mm-hmm. a lot of the more liberal parties saw that if there was an election now, like the Conservatives would definitely win just due to the sentiment in the air and like how extreme things have gotten.
Yeah.
Like in America alone, Canada is almost in a similar situation. So they're like, you know, we're going to like continue to let you guys run the show for now. But you know, when things cool down in a few years, to see if the Democrats get in, you know, this extremism kind of chills out for a bit, because that's how it usually happens.
Yeah.
Then we might, you know, eventually we'll have an election. But
yeah.
Yeah. So what was I saying? Sorry, I'm getting on like many tangents here.
You are, but I'm listening.
I'm sorry. Okay. People are like, what the hell is this guy talking about? But to go all the way back to the fact that this is desperation,
yeah,
is because the only reason they moved into a new region, which is southern Lebanon, is because like it's that whole thing of you can't really have an election when you're in the middle of war, right?
Yeah.
So if you're actively fighting, if you're still fighting, because the moment that fighting stops, mm-hmm. all these protests that are happening will actually transform into real elections.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like these extremists will lose their power, and they know this, so they're going to continue to push for more and more war.
Yeah.
And there's only so far that can go between until the populace essentially just kind of like
stop supporting,
or just is no more people to hold up the government or hold up the country, because now that there are bombs falling in actual Israel, thousands, even maybe millions of people, well, I think actually millions of people have been leaving the country.
Yeah.
Businesses have been shut down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, investments have been pulled out.
I'm surprised their economy hasn't completely failed.
It is collapsing and it is failing.
Yeah.
So, and I mentioned that a few weeks ago, and it's not getting any better. Mm-hmm. And this situation is not going to make it any better, because now the people are actually, like, it's not only before when we were speaking about Gaza, and Gaza is also still currently being attacked, and you know they're still getting bombed every other day or every day now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's now the people in Israel are not like, you know, sitting high and pretty in their house or whatever. They actually almost feeling some of that fear that they've been imposing on other countries,
as they should.
Yeah,
like it sucks that, you know, a lot of them are innocent people, but
It's not like they're not fighting. They are fighting to try and kick out the government. Sure, yeah. Some of their motivations we may not agree with.
Yeah, but at least it's a common goal.
Yeah, it's like the enemy. What is it? The enemy of my enemy is my friend. So that can bring some more levity to. Is that levity? No, it can bring you some more solace, or like some more. What's the word I'm looking for?
Not ease, comfort.
Yeah, and that can bring you a little bit more comfort to the whole situation, and hopefully make you understand that this is more of like a last ditch effort and all these things that they're doing, and more of something that we get, and less of something that we're going to see for a long time, because there's only so far they can go. There's only so far that the funding can go and how much they can use, because a lot of this stuff, all the money and stuff they can get, there's only. You can give them all the money,
yeah,
but if nothing is coming in, like how much can they really use that, right?
Yeah, it's just sad to see what they're doing to Lebanon, like really, you know, going after our country and destroying, like I think now there's like at least 1 million people that have been displaced,
yeah.
Thousands that have already been killed. Like it's very sad to see.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, like, we have a lot of Lebanese friends.
Yeah, we grew up around a lot of Lebanese people, so.
And so, like, seeing their stories of, like, you know, not knowing if they're able to get a hold of some of their family members is actually, like, terrifying. Mm-hmm. Like, it's, you know, tragedy is still tragedy, whether you know someone or not. But, like, I guess it just, like, hits you different when it's people that you know and it's, like, their loved ones. Because then I've done this before, but, like, when you put it into perspective, I'm like, what if something happened to, like, in Ethiopia and we can't get a hold of our family and like that fear.
And that has been like a fear in our past. Mm-hmm. Of course, not to this degree, but there have been like rumblings of situations in our country or our home country where we've been like, should we be concerned? Like, and usually they try and say, oh no, don't worry, whatever. Right. Because it's never reached that level, but it is something we can kind of a little bit relate to.
Yeah.
And actually, one thing to mention about Eastern Africa, I need to look into the situation more, but I believe there was an update on the situation in Sudan, and I need to look that up, actually. Let me look it up right now.
Okay.
Okay, so I did a little bit of research, and it turns out that the Sudanese army, the government's army, actually took back the capital, which was Khartoum. And the only reason I mentioned this, ironically enough, is because like of memes on TikTok. Is because there are a lot of like Sudanese people who are posting about like, you know, I'm ready to buy my plane ticket to go back to the motherland. Like people were saying like, I'm immediately going there to visit family and friends because, yeah. So I believe the RSF had control over that city for a long time. It was basically cutting off like connections between the northern and southern part of that region. And they were finally able to take it over. And clearly like a lot of people are just relieved that you're able to get it back and that there's some like calmness brought back to that area and that region because the capital of your city, right? Usually those are the last place that you would think that's reached or that's taken over. But yeah, they're able to get it back. That's all that I have at the moment. From what I see on TikTok, because it's all from TikTok, this looks like it's a very positive thing. And if people seem like it's see it as something like where it gives them enough reason to go back and they feel like it's safe enough to go back, I'm gonna say that's a positive thing. So I'm gonna continue to pray for the people of Sudan.
Correct us if we're wrong.
Yeah, correct us if we're wrong. I'm gonna also pray for the people of Lebanon, people of Gaza, Yemen, and all the other regions, Syria. Yemen, Congo, Syria, all the regions that are currently just in
turmoil
essentially, right?
Yeah.
In instability, which is exactly what, like I mentioned earlier, which is exactly what the Western countries want. Like I mentioned how they want stability for themselves, but they do that by creating instability in those regions.
Yeah.
Because when no one's, when everybody's like focused on whatever's conflict is going on in that region, then they don't see the other hand who's reaching for the resources under them, right? So it's a lot of global
corruption
and politics in this situation. We try to cover some of it, but we're just two people who just don't want innocent people getting hurt. Exactly. And we're going to continue to pray for those people. Yeah. And I'm always going to try and bring some type of like a silver lining to the situation, because I always try and look at the silver lining of a situation. Sure, it's not my way of trying to like avoid even addressing situation or minimizing it.
Yeah,
but it can help in those feelings or those times where you feel despair and you feel like there's like nothing good is going on in the world, right? Because it can feel like that sometimes, but
patience will always lead to, you know, whenever you're inflicted with hardships, calamities, being patient throughout that and remembering God throughout those difficult times will only serve you in your hereafter, whether it's the, you know, removal of sins or erasing of sins or increasing in your status, you know. So really, as tough as it may seem, just remember to try and be patient when you're facing adversities. Remember Allah. Obey Allah. Don't use your hardships as an excuse to disobey God. And try to be your best in terms of being like your Islam. Try hard. I feel like, you know, when you are facing hardships, that's the best time to turn back to God and really just devote yourself to Islam. And you know what? When you do that, it actually makes it easier for you to get through what you're going through. So,
Okay, guys, we're going to leave you with that. Hopefully not too much of a downer, but you know, we brought some silver lining situations, so it's not super down. If you liked what you heard or what you saw today, make sure to subscribe to the channel.
Also, we have some exciting news coming up soon. It's a secret, so we're not gonna tell you yet, but
I didn't know about this, but yeah, well, you do. Okay. But yeah, to hear about that, subscribe to the channel, follow us on all the platforms, Cousin Connection Pod, pray for all the people we've spoken about today.
Until next week.
Bye.